Billboards and Butt Stuff. A do Matt fic written by Raggedy Red and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Matt thinks it's a bad idea. Knows it's a bad idea. Thinks it is? Jury's out. Josie, for one, is giving him more than a few looks she has no reason to think he's aware of. And she's given even more looks to Jean-Paul, who, for his part, has largely managed to worm his way into her heart, kind of. It's impressive, truly. But Josie is still sporting some hesitation, perhaps on the basis of having known Matt longer. Jean-Paul had told him about his time in the military, about the time he met Mark Spector, even if the details surrounding the meeting are murky. Matt doesn't miss the disappointment in the man's voice, a sour, heartbroken edge that maybe hasn't healed, because he gets it. Probably not exactly, but he certainly has some idea, even if Jean-Paul hasn't actually revealed the depth of those feelings. They're bust. By the end of the night, they're smiling again, and Jean-Paul has fixed how Matt's glasses fit on his nose twice now. He also doesn't miss Jean-Paul's blood flow, the smell of his interest caught in the air, woody and insistent. Matt doesn't miss his own, either. He invites Jean-Paul to his apartment. He talks a big game, big enough that Jean-Paul is furiously blushing as he tries to keep up, big enough that he's pretty sure he's giving Jean-Paul the wrong idea about at least one thing. But the man is patient, uninsistent when they make it inside. He shoves his hand in his pockets, does his long, low whistle, and says, like everyone does, "That is quite some billboard there." "I'm told it's obnoxious," Matt says, grinning. He hangs his cane on the handle and adjusts his glasses. "Means I got a decent discount, and, well, it's not like it bothers me." "No, I do not suppose it would, mon ami." But he isn't looking at the billboard. "I do not suppose it would." Jean-Paul has been following Matt's lead, which is definitely interesting and maybe not surprising given how Matt had acted. Matt is the first one to stumble into the kiss. "So you didn't bring me here to show me the view, hmm?" Jean-Paul had said, leaning against the wall. "Perhaps you wanted me to cook for you while you got some work done," he shrugged. Matt stepped closer and Jean-Paul's heart rate quickened. His brush of air sharp, the heat building in his cheeks, and when Matt grabbed the back of that man's head, tilting his own head to the side, Jean-Paul easily followed suit. He grabbed Matt's waist, handling him, holding him as he pushed their lips together, his teeth finding Matt's lower lip, and even though Jean-Paul is the one against the wall, Matt pushes harder, pinning Jean-Paul there, and Jean-Paul lets him, one hand sliding slowly up Matt's back and eventually wrapping around his neck, still holding him. Of all things, Matt is surprised by the facial hair. Somehow he'd forgotten it could be a thing, so the mustache French used boys is the first true surprise. Surprise enough that he nearly jolts, then brings a hand to Jean-Paul's face because he knows nothing of how this man looks, how his features curve and sharpen. Jean-Paul chuckles against Matt's lips. "I forgot you wouldn't know," he says, and then he's guiding Matt's hand across the stubble, the curve of his cheekbones, the rough hair above his lip. Then he puts a kiss to the top of Matt's hand, and Matt releases an ungodly snort. Jean-Paul chuckles. Then, with that graceful, familiar ease, stirs Matt into another kiss. Unsurprisingly, they end up in Matt's bedroom, and for Matt, that is when part of the jig is up. Jean-Paul's hand has slid under his shirt, and then it hooks the waistband of his pants, and with that single hand, he undoes the clasp. Matt isn't sure what he did, if anything, to make Jean-Paul hesitate. Put his lips back, put his forehead to Matt's, and say, "Do you want to do this?" He does. His own heat has started to gather right where Jean-Paul's hand just was. He is acutely aware that Jean-Paul is very much in the same boat, perhaps even more so, but he still has pulled back, checked in. Matt swallows. His glasses are still on. He hates that he notices this. He nods. Then, yes, he cuts himself off as he flushes. Jean-Paul's head cocks. "You have not done this before?" Matt's chest tightens. He doesn't know why he feels embarrassed, of all things. The truth of it lodges in his lungs. He shakes his head. "At all, or with a man?" He can feel the flush spread to his neck. With a man. Jean-Paul watches him for a few quiet moments. Matt has no idea what's going through the man's head. Maybe he wants to stop. Maybe he worries Matt won't be serious. Maybe he thinks this is something it isn't. Maybe he thinks much as wants to test the waters. Then Jean-Paul says, "You could have fooled me." "I'm a lawyer," Matt says, grinning. "I can fool just about everyone with my words. Part of the job description." "Is that so?" Jean-Paul drawls. "All this time you have been acting as though..." He tilts his head, side to side, and then, abruptly, he grabs Matt by his tie and shoves him against the wall, wedging his leg between Matt's thighs, holding the rest of his balance on his prosthetic and against Matt. Matt, almost immediately, gets very hard. "And to think," Jean-Paul purrs, "I would have bottomed for you." Matt doesn't need to see to know his whole face has gone red. He shifts awkwardly, mouth dropping open, and Jean-Paul just wedges his leg in harder. Matt is unable to stop the sound this elicits before it's already escaping his throat. "Tell me," Jean-Paul says, "what you want." His breath is hot on Matt's mouth, but he isn't getting closer. This has to be on purpose. "I," Matt says, but he's finding that the words are escaping him in the face of this touch, this feeling, this everything. He could escape. He could hurt this man, get away, get out of his hold with ease, but it's the last thing he wants to do. He knows what he wants, but his tongue won't let him say it. His hands are flat against the wall behind him. He swallows. "What were you just saying about your words?" Jean-Paul asks. Automatically, Matt says, "Fuck you." "If you'd like," Jean-Paul is smiling. Of course he's smiling. Asshole. An asshole who already has some idea of what Matt wants, but is forcing him to actually say it. Jackass. Asshole. "I want..." Matt hisses in a breath. "I want you to hurt me." Jean-Paul inhales sharply, but Matt knows from his heartbeat that he isn't surprised. "I sure know how to pick them," Jean-Paul says. "I think that's the quiet part you aren't supposed to say out loud." "Ow, shit!" "I can go slow," Jean-Paul says evenly. Matt clenches his jaw. "Matthew," he says, moving one hand to grab Matt's chin. "Do you want me to go slow?" "No," Matt breathes immediately. "If you want me to stop, we can use the word..." Matt shakes his head, and Jean-Paul immediately says, with a note of warning, "Hey, not with me, mon ami. I can do what you want, but I am keeping you safe. Understand?" Matt is positively fucked. This time, he nods. "Fine," he says. "Good. If either of us want to stop, we say, red. Does that work?" Instantly, he thinks of Frank and that stupid fucking rooftop. He tries not to squirm again. "Not red. Yellow. Yellow it is," Jean-Paul agrees. Then he slowly pulls his body back, releasing his knee from between Matt's legs. "You are sure you want to do this?" "Jesus Christ, as if he isn't hard and red-faced and..." "Yes, Jean-Paul," he says, stepping forward, stripping off his tie. "I want this." That's apparently all the invitation Jean-Paul needs. He crushes the lips back together, grabbing the end of the tie and tossing it across the bed, then immediately going to the buttons of Matt's shirt as Matt goes for his. They stumble towards the bed, Jean-Paul using one hand to force his pants down and off. Then Jean-Paul's prosthetic hooks around Matt's legs and sends them into a tumble onto the bed, Matt landing hard on top of Jean-Paul. "Shit," he says, he leans back. "Leg?" Jean-Paul huffs, then awkwardly kicks the leg off. "I will trust you, mon ami." "Fair is fair." Matt doesn't know what to do with that gesture, isn't even sure if it's actually a grand gesture or not something grand at all, and he freezes. Jean-Paul takes that second to roll over him, straddling Matt on the bed. "Do you have lube?" Again, Matt sets his jaw. "Yes, but..." Jean-Paul leans forward, his lips just barely brushing against Matt's as he whispers, "Please." Shit. Something in his chest curls at that single word, curls even further when Jean-Paul smiles against his lips, saying, "There it is." "Shut up," Matt hisses, then, "Nightstand, second drawer." "Thank you, Matt," he murmurs. "How about you go grab it? I appear to be down a leg, if you did not see." Matt snorts. He stops himself from saying, "Fuck you," again. "You need to get out of me first." Jean-Paul releases a long-suffering sigh. "Fine," Then he rolls off, leaving Matt to stand and get the bottle. After he grabs it, he pauses for a moment at the nightstand. Jean-Paul is looking at him, propping his head up on one arm. He takes a breath and makes a decision. Matt takes off his glasses and sets them down. Then, without turning, he tosses the bottle at Jean-Paul. Jean-Paul catches it easily, then says, "Nice throw. Now get over here." Matt turns then, lifting an eyebrow. "Please?" Jean-Paul laughs, sits up, and says, "Please, walk over here." Matt goes for his best triggering expression, but he listens, moving to the end of the bed, padding over Jean-Paul's prosthetic leg on the floor. "Good ears. You know where it landed." "I pay attention," he says as Jean-Paul moves to the end of the bed and begins slowly unfastening Matt's pants. "I can do that, by the way," he adds an amused lilt to his tone. "I want to," Jean-Paul says. Matt leans down, brushing one hand down Jean-Paul's bare side until his hand finds the hem of his boxers, just as Jean-Paul grabs Matt's pants and boxers and puts them down in one swift go. Matt fumbles forward, mouth reactively twisting into a snarl before he pulls down Jean-Paul's boxers and puts himself forward, straddling the Frenchman and forcing their lips back together. Jean-Paul moans against him, grins as Matt's thumb grazes his cheekbones. Jean-Paul leans back to say, "I would hate to ruin these silk cheats." "Then ruin me instead," he wants to say, but he just shuts the man up with another deep kiss, grinding into his pelvis and delightfully withering in the heat that settles there. As though he isn't hard and flushed, Jean-Paul says coolly, "I suppose we can always wash them." "Are you going to talk this whole time, or do I need to do a better job of convincing you to stop?" Jean-Paul laughs, and then, slowly, the laugh fades as a finger traces Matt's chest. "What are these, huh? All these scars?" Matt's breath catches. Then he draws a hand along Jean-Paul's own chest, his side, the strong cracks of his abdomen, fingers pausing where he, too, felt scars. "What are yours?" He doesn't mention the leg. He imagines it comes through in some implication, though Matt hasn't felt the scar tissue there, the feeling of re-wound and tightened skin. He knows it isn't something the man was born with. He doesn't need to feel it to sense the injury regardless. "Fair's fair," he repeats. His hand slides down Matt's back, lower, until he's dragging a finger to. Matt's own heartbeat is a clapping thunderstorm in his ears. Jean-Paul's, too, though his heart doesn't beat quite so fast. "Move," Jean-Paul tells him. "Make me," Matt snaps back. It's unexpected that Jean-Paul twists out from under him, leading with the amputated leg, but that's what he does, still gripping Matt's ass as he gets on top of him. He leans lower on that leg, and it presses flush against Matt's own. Matt blinks, opens his mouth, but then Jean-Paul is hooking Matt's right leg up to his shoulder and saying coyly, "You need to stretch first." "Like hell," Matt spits back, even as Jean-Paul sticks his own finger in his mouth, brings it down, and he grunts when Jean-Paul's finger goes in. Jean-Paul clicks his tongue. "You still believe that, mon ami?" And then he pushes his finger in deeper, and Matt's face twists as his fingers snag into the bed sheets, his body reactively walling itself tighter against Jean-Paul, making the dry drag even smaller. "Well," Jean-Paul says, slowly moving his finger, expanding Matt's hole. "I'm not..." He gets himself off before he can make another uncontrolled sound. There's that breath of pain. Nothing compared to what he's used to, but the circling motion up and up are starting to get to him. "Please," he scoffs. "So it's not all talk," Jean-Paul says, and this time he uses the lube to add the second finger, then the third. Matt's neck is arching back, and he's trying not to squirm, trying not to lose himself in the feeling as Jean-Paul presses his fingers in deeper, rutting them against his prostate and bringing forth the ecstatic bursts of pleasure. He refuses to get too lost in it, even as his body shudders, his cock hard, his shoulders digging hard into his own bed as the feel of Jean-Paul's calluses rub against his insides. The prep should likely take longer, but Matt is growling at Jean-Paul to move faster. "You already got the fucking lube, Jean-Paul, give me this!" Jean-Paul had pressed his mouth to Matt's, biting Matt's lip and thrusting his hand in deeper. One more time, grinning and pulling away. "If you insist," he said. Jean-Paul was already hard, too, when he began to put himself inside Matt. Matt hissed, tensing. Even just the head of the shaft was bigger than he'd thought, even though he'd sensed it, smelled the arousal and noted its length. It hurts. It hurts wonderfully. Jean-Paul is anchoring himself, one arm on either side of Matt as he slowly pushes in. As Jean-Paul sucks in a sharp breath, neck straining back, Matt hooks his leg around Jean-Paul's waist. Then, because this is a good person, a person who's trying, Matt breathlessly asks, "Is this okay for your... or would... You do not think about the leg." Matt can tell if the strain in Jean-Paul's voice is from pleasure or something else entirely. "Let me worry about it." Matt just nods, then groans as Jean-Paul suddenly slides in deeper, harder, barely giving Matt room to adjust before he's pulling out slightly, then pushing back in. "Jesus," Matt breathes, gritting his teeth, his eyes open wide into nothing. Matt's hand, somewhat inadvertently, grabs Jean-Paul's wrist, and he squeezes. "Easy," Jean-Paul says, and then thumps in once, hard, and Matt's head fills with static and the delightful twist of pain and a dose of ecstasy. Matt grips Jean-Paul harder, somehow barely hearing the sound coming from his own throat as Jean-Paul pushes in again, again. Jean-Paul's body is alight like fire, the smell of his sweat sharp and sweet, his heartbeat strong and quick. He bends down to push his lips against Matt, but it can barely even be called a kiss. And then he's leaning back and pushing in again, looking down at Matt, something making his heartbeat go even faster. Jean-Paul's breath hitches, heat floods his cheek, and his head angles down more toward Matt's chest, which makes Matt realize that the taste of Jean-Paul's current emotion is shame. Matt puts it together. Of course he does. He's done this enough times to recognize that some partners find a sightless stare to be arousing. Interesting. Something like that. They like to watch him in the throes of pleasure, knowing he can't see them back. Usually they feel bad, but don't look away. Matt, feeling absurd, feeling needy, remembering the hint of heartbeat in Jean-Paul's voice when he talked about his friend, remembering something that had stirred in his gut that had maybe been jealousy, moves his hand to Jean-Paul's jaw. Jean-Paul slows for just a second, but Matt is still buzzing in pleasure when he says, breathlessly, "Look at me." Jean-Paul does, his breath momentarily slowing again, the heat rising, and then he says, "You..." Matt grins. "Me." Then Jean-Paul is going faster, faster, deeper, thumping into Matt in a chorus of one another's moans. Matt is the one who comes first, his back arching, his cry piercing the apartment, and it's enough to make Jean-Paul do the same. His hips going flush against Matt's body as he comes inside him. The ripping, overwhelming sensation of it all takes Matt to the edge, and he feels himself shaking in the wall of pleasure. And then they're lying next to one another, face up on the bed, panting. Matt says, and then promptly loses the words. "That good?" Jean-Paul says. "Speechless lawyer?" Matt grabs a pillow and hits Jean-Paul in the face with it. Jean-Paul laughs, and then Matt's laughing, and it feels good, and it hurts, and it's nice. It's horribly nice, and Matt isn't sure he deserves a good thing like this. He knows he doesn't. He wants to take it away. Then Jean-Paul grabs Matt's hand, brings it to that longer, bumpy scar in his abdomen, and says, "In the military, one of my own was having a nightmare. PTSD, you know? I made the mistake of waking him up, and he took his knife to me." Matt blinks, drags his finger along the length of that scar, then he pulls his hand back. He doesn't want to lie. "I wasn't born blind. Lost my sight helping someone else. Didn't end well for me, obviously, but I don't regret it." Jean-Paul hums, and it buzzes delightfully in Matt's skull. Then he says, "I lost my leg because I was helping a friend." Matt, he sucks in a breath. "You must make a pretty good friend. You must make a pretty good stranger." Matt chuckles. "You can be the judge of that." "I would argue that we are no longer strangers, mon ami," Jean-Paul says, twisting to face him. Matt lifts his brows, huffs, and turns so he's technically also facing Jean-Paul. "Why don't we make double sure of that?"